This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
The fourth edition of Power Zone this week. You're with myself, Musa Mafela-Chuma, and we've been having some really insightful conversations around Africanism and just how we've been responding to immigrants in South Africa. And I'm very happy to continue to explore that line of conversation when we do open the lines again towards the end of the show. Right now, 7 minutes past one, we are going to dive straight into a conversation, as I mentioned earlier on, which will be a book review, and we'll be reviewing a book called A Wrath of a Broken Romance, a fiction piece that has been written by Mahlatsi Merimashita Tuna. And I feel like I might be breaking or butchering that. Mahlatsi will correct me just now. And this is a book that is marred with drama, and I'm ready for us to unpack a little bit of the creativity behind that, as well as maybe the reason behind a book like this even ended up on the shelf. Mahlatsi, good morning.
Good morning, sister. How are you?
I'm good, good. Thank you so much for giving us your time this morning to have the chat with us.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, sister.
Awesome. So we are going to call you an author today because this is what we're exploring. But besides being an author, who else is Mahlatsi?
I was born in Hammanskraal. Mm-hmm. And then, I was born in Hammanskraal. After that, I attended my primary school in Ramodzi Primary School. From there, I've been a victim of circumstances. So because from Ramodzi Primary School, I went to Kabalatsane Primary School in the year of 2010 due to circumstances of my parents having to separate. And after that, I relocated to Soshanguve. So, yeah, that's why I attended my high school at Soshanguve Technical High School. So I am a student at the Richfield Institution, mm-hmm. Currently studying civil engineering NATAD. So I've been having challenges with obtaining my qualifications because of finance. So despite that, I'm just into art, writing, fitness, and so forth.
That's a very diverse, pool of things that you are into there. And I say this because if you are studying engineering, you're also an author at the same time. Those seem very different, but at the same time, we know that people do go into different spaces, regardless of them being an individual. How does the studying then survive while you are writing a book or while working on different projects?
Well, I can say that writing for me is something that I did not choose. Mm-hmm. I can say that it was a calling, so I did not choose. So I believe that God created a way for me to be able to maintain both of the careers.
Mm-hmm. And none of the careers suffer because of the other one. I'm trying to think of someone who's a student who's also trying to publish a book, that both of them can be very time consuming. How do you balance the two?
Indeed. So I try to make time because obviously you're going to be able to make time for things that you love. So there are things that are SLE stuff that will eat up your time. So I try so much to consume time for things that matters the most and abstain from things of the world just so I can be able to push my stuff and be good.
Let's talk about your love for languages first before we dive into the book. I know that the book is written in English, but a lot of us do understand that. But I wanted us to touch a little bit on your love for languages and learning languages. How many languages do you speak right now, and why are you fascinated in learning other languages?
I speak Setswana, I speak Pedi, I speak Zulu, Ndebele, English, obviously. So actually, firstly, I started learning Setswana in school, then I learned Sepedi. And then because of Soshanguve, I had to be open in learning other languages. Mm. So yeah, I'm into culture and traditions. I love learning a lot about culture and about everything that has to do with blacks and everything. I'm just in love with the art of black. I'm just in love with those.
Mm-mm. And I mean, is there any plan to start writing in other languages as well? Because I feel like we do have a lack of literature, especially fiction literature that sits on our shelves that is written in our indigenous languages.
Yeah, I'm currently writing a book in Setswana, which I want to put more effort so that I can be able to finish it. Yeah, so I'm writing a book in Setswana, and I wrote poetry in Setswana, though I did not publish it because I've been trying to do some research regarding the platforms and so forth.
You should be looking out to see such kind of work coming from you in the near future. I have tried at some point to see if I can even still read and write in my own home language, and I can tell you for a fact, I think speaking English has destroyed a lot of that. Either, let's not say ability, but maybe the confidence, therefore, to write and express myself in my home language. So people like you definitely inspire me. Let's dive into the book, Mahlatsi, A Wrath of a Broken Romance. What is the story about, and where did the inspiration come from?
The Wrath of a Broken Romance is based on the prominent family of the workers who plan to have a family trip, though the trip did not succeed due to the car crash. Both parents died on the spot, while Paul and Emily, who were the siblings, survived the accident. But Paul, the main character, became blind, and he fell in love with a gold digger without realizing that the person that he fell in love with was a gold digger. He was promised that his sight would be recovered in time, but the gold digger failed to believe that his sight would be recovered. Thus, the gold digger decided to invite her lover under the roof of Paul, and Paul caught them in an act of adultery after he got his sight once again. And Emily, who was a sister, was going through some obstacles because she also fell in love with the legal person of the family, of the legal person of her late father, and not knowing that the legal person fell in love with her in order to just steal her possessions and her estates. So thus the siblings are going through, a wrath of a broken romance.
And I mean, continue.
Sorry?
Continue. I feel like I cut you off.
No, it's fine, because I wanted to open up what inspired me about the book.
Yes.
Yeah, what inspired me to write the book, it's like, before I told you that I got stuck with my qualification because of finance. So I was going through a rough patch. I was not in good condition. So I was going through rough patches and praying, asking God, why is it that's happening to me and what's happening? So I had a dream about the book. I had a dream, and then that's when I began to write the book. So the dream was clear to me that this is how the book is supposed to be. So I believe that was a karma that God gave me in order to just give me something, like in order to show that you exist, I'm with you, because that is how I got everything about the book. That is how I came to write a book, and throughout the journey of my writing, I was guided that this chapter, it is supposed to be like this. This chapter is supposed to be like that. So I was guided throughout the book.
That's very good for you to not be doing this without any form of inspiration there. I feel like every time I read any fiction, that you want to always connect to anything that's happening, to things that are happening in society, right? I believe that any form of art reflects society. So I wanted to find out from you if these are things or stories that you had experienced or seen happening around you, right? Things such as people falling in love with people because of their finances or because of their wealth. I'm looking at Emily and the father's lawyer who only started a relationship with her because he knew he had access to, you know, the Walker's estate. Are these things that we see or you see or have experienced in society?
Yes, this thing exists a lot. These things exist because, as you can see, the state of economy right now, people are going through rough patches. People are going through the most, especially with ladies. You find that people do not have jobs. So they just find themselves planning and doing things like that, they end up being in relationships with people that they do not intend to be romantically involved with, or rather, I would just call them the commercial relationships, because they are there just to benefit. Like, for instance, blazers. Others go for blazers directly, but others go directly for people that they know that, okay, they just want to spend their life with, but in order to just benefit commercially.
And in the sense of Paul himself, what could have led to him being exploited? I mean, we know that he becomes blind in the car accident, but he also could have been a little bit more cautious, right? But how does he end up in a predicament like that?
Well, other people just believe in love. Other people just believe in love to such an extent that they are just blindfolded by the word love itself. Other people, they just trust people at an instant. They do not care about the consequences or so, because they just believe. And other people just receive life as it is. So they don't believe, or rather, they do not think about whether I'll become hurt or what, in which all of us, most of us, when we are in relationships, we do not consider that I might be hurt, I might be a victim. You just be in love with that person in the name of being in love, because we believe that love is beautiful. Though we see a lot of people become victims of circumstances due to in the name of love or whatsoever. So that's how, yeah.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like something that, you know, Paul probably went through, because I don't think he would have even known that the person he had fallen in love with was there to exploit him, right? In the sense that he could not see, and only until he had recovered his eyesight. I wanted to find out from you, Mahletsi. You speak of yourself as a spiritual person, maybe Christian, if I'm getting that right, and maybe talk about, you know, how that informs how you get into relationships, and also how that maybe filtered into the book as well, right? Maybe having the faith that, you know, for someone like Paul, having faith that regardless of his circumstances after the accident, he was still able to find someone he believed was going to take care of him. So how does you know, love and relationships work for someone who's a Christian, or rather who is spiritual, and just how that filtered straight to the book as well?
Well, okay, fine. I won't lie to you. Most of the time, spiritual people tend to see the people that they are supposed to be in a relationship with. They are granted the vision before. But though the spirit is willing, the flesh at times is work. So we tend to find ourselves in relationship with wrong people because we become weak. So spiritual people, I think if they are more focused, they will see that this is a way for me, because the spirituality provide eyes for you. But most of the time, spiritual people are ignorant. We are ignorant that we just fall for whatever that comes. You get it? In the name of love. We as well are fooled in the name of romance, that you just fall in love with a person and so forth.
And in that case, does then religion or spirituality matter for the person that you're getting into a relationship with? Would you, as a Christian, date someone who is not a Christian?
Yes, because remember that people learn. Remember that people learn in different ways, and universe use people in different ways. So I believe that each and every person is a vessel in this world, despite the fact that they are spiritually matured or they are spiritually gifted or they are not, despite the fact that they are Christians or they are not. Each and every person is a vessel in this world. So we are born with a purpose in which, yeah, so for me, it's just positive. As long as you are guided, the universe knows that what will occur afterwards.
While we're still on some personal questions there, I'm one of those people who have struggled to be in a relationship with someone who believes in something that is different from what I believe in. I think that's just my own selfish self-preservation to some extent, that I want to believe that maybe my belief is right, you know, and I think that's very selfish. But it's good to hear from people like you say, you know what, you actually can find yourself in a relationship with someone and still make it work, even though your beliefs are different. I wanted us to jump back to the process of writing the book. And the reason I'm saying this is there's a lot of people who are, you know, looking forward to starting a project like that, maybe either lacking the inspiration or feel like it's a huge, huge task and that they might not even be able to complete. Maybe walk us through the process of you writing the book. Where, how, and, you know, how did you start and how long did it take you?
This was not my first book. The first book failed.
Mm.
So the first book failed. And it took me years again to be able to rewrite again. So writing for me was not easy, but I made sure that I had a target for words. I made sure that I had target for words. And I made sure that I read different books just so that my mind can be in grammar, can be in communication. So I abstained from a lot in order to finish this project. So it took me a year for me to complete the book. And then it took me, because I wrote a book and I completed it. And then after that, I kept it away without considering to publish it because I was not ready to publish. So I kept it away, but I knew that there will come a certain day where I would wanna publish this book. So after that, after I took a break from it and took a break from writing, I felt that I was ready to publish. After I did my research, then I considered publishing. And the reason it took me long is it is because it consists of 55,000 words. So after writing it, obviously I was tired. But then I had people who assisted me behind the scenes. I had my former principal who motivated me to write, to publish, because I was devastated. Like, I was just worried, and I was like, I'm not ready. I will see it sometime. I had my family who pushed me, and I had my teachers who believed in me, which is, yes.
When you say the first book failed, right? Because I know, like I said, there are people who are, you know, looking for inspiration right now to figure out how to start a project like this. What does a failed book mean? Do you mean sales failed? Do you mean you couldn't get publishers? What does a failed book mean? We're speaking to an author right now, and some of us have never written before, so we'd need to know from people like you.
The style of the book was not accordingly. I did not know anything about the style of writing. I had no style. I was not ready to just write, but I wrote, and I approached my English teacher and I told her that I want to write a book. And she said, okay, fine, bring your book and I will see the book, I will edit the book for you. So I believe that the style was not accordingly, the style was not, and the story didn't just add up. It did not add up. So it was not, I was not ready.
I guess there's always you know, the right time for everything, right? That you Indeed. Might have the idea, but the execution might not be the best. But what I like the most about this is you did not give up. You still went back and you wrote, and now you've published. In that sense, where do we find the book for us to read the full story of the life of the Walkers?
Currently, I'm taking pre-orders, and then as I'm taking pre-orders, people who want to order the book will order the book directly to me, and they will receive their orders through courier.
Oh, that's very nice. But then how do we order? Is there information we can share for people to be able to get a hold of you? Do you have a social media handle that we can access?
Yeah, for now, I use WhatsApp, and I also use my Facebook page, which is Mary Mashita Tuna.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
And on my WhatsApp line, it's 071-430-3292.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Mahletsi, for sharing your journey with us. These are inspiring stories that we want to hear, especially in an economy where young people do not have jobs, for you to get up and create some opportunities for yourself, especially the creative side of things, considering that, you know, you are still going to school yourself, that you did still venture to make it a point that your creativity is working for you. This is very, very inspirational. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was author Mahletsi Mashita Tuna, who has written a book called The Wrath of a Broken Romance that highlights just how much people can fool you into thinking they love you just because you have money. Be clever, man. Just see people for who they are. And I mean, in this case, it's unfortunate that one of the characters did physically lose his sight and could not necessarily see what was going on around him. But luckily, he did recover his sight and was able to see right through the person that was exploiting him. But for me, it is learning that all of these things are not coming from the air. It is authors like Mahletsi that will reflect society in creative projects like these and help us to keep reminded that people are not always good-hearted when they approach us and try to, you know, to join us in our venture through lives as our lives as young people. Let's continue having these conversations on 0861-987-000.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.